All right, Alexander, let's talk about Germany once again and what's going on with the ESM and the courts, the ESM mechanism to fund the countries that have been devastated, their economies devastated by the CV crisis and pandemic, or at least talking about a possible ESM scheme. It looks like the German courts are going to have none of that stuff. No ESM, no Corona bonds, Euro bonds, none of that stuff. Alexander, what's going on here?
Well, as I said, what has happened is that the sleeping dragon, which is the German Constitutional Court, has woken up finally from its long slumber on EU issues, and it has roared. And though the fact has not yet percolated through to the financial markets, I can absolutely assure you that the chancelleries of Europe, the German Chancellery, the French Presidency, the European Commission, and the ECB are all shaking. Because if there's anything you know about Germany, it is that it's a very rule-bound country and a very law-bound country. And if the German Constitutional Court says something is unlawful and illegal, the Germans will follow it, and politicians like Merkel, Angela Merkel, can't interfere with it. Now, what the German Constitutional Court has said, and this is specifically related to the European Central Bank's bond buying program. The European Central Bank has been printing money and buying bonds, specifically Italian bonds. In other words, it's been quietly helping Italy by financing its debt, by printing money. What the German Constitutional Court has said is that that is manifestly unlawful. It has also said that the European Court of Justice, which authorized these bond buying programs, was wrong. And last but not least, it has also said that the bond buying program by the European Central Bank is contrary to German law and to the German constitution, and that Germany can't, in fact, go on supporting it, because to do so would be to infringe German national law. Now, that is going to create lots of problems going forward, because it means the Corona bonds that people have been talking about, well, that's dead. The German Constitutional Court has said that's unconstitutional. It cannot happen. Germany cannot be part of Corona bonds. Mutual debt issuance across the European Union, that is also dead. That also cannot happen. There is no question of that happening either. And it's basically said that the QE that the European Central Bank has been indulging in, in which, as I said, it's supporting Italy, that's unconstitutional under German law also. And that is going to create huge problems down the line. I don't think people have yet understood the significance of this decision.
Okay, so Eurobonds, Corona bonds out. Mm-hmm. I mentioned ESM in my intro. Was I correct to mention that? Or is ESM?
Yes, I think you are. No, I think you are, because, as I said, the way the German Constitutional Court is talking is that it's becoming very, very clear that even the ESM cannot be funded indefinitely by the German taxpayer.
Can you remind us of the ESM once again?
The ESM, right. The ESM is this facility that was created by the European Union, which is a fund in which various countries put in money, including, by the way, countries like Greece and Italy and Cyprus. They all contribute money to the ESM, but obviously the greater part of it comes from countries like Germany. And that is the money, that is the fund out of which the bailouts are, which have been providing funding to countries like Italy, Greece, Cyprus, and the rest. That's where the money has come from. So it's a kind of fund, a kind of slush fund, if you like. Well, a fund which has been used by the European Union to fund the bailouts. They're also, by the way, in the process of, well, they're talking about setting up another fund, which is going to be a recovery fund, which is supposedly going to fund the revival of the European economy once the our corona crisis is behind us. And I've already said that I have, you know, very serious doubts about that fund. It looks to me like another slush fund. It's certainly not going to be a recovery fund of any kind. What the German Constitutional Court has said is that constantly building up these funds and putting money into them is ultimately a form of fiscal transfer, and it can't continue. They're putting a red line under that also. So I don't think people understand all of this, but that's clearly the implications of this decision.
What kind of a wiggle room does this leave Merkel with?
Well, it's a very good question. The one way round this would be, I suppose, to try to change the treaties. But changing the treaties may be very difficult because the German Constitutional Court has always said, it's always been the one constitutional court in Europe that has said the German Constitution overrides European treaties. So if they say that this is wrong, if you change the treaties and they reject...
You mean the treaties between...
Well, the treaties that form the European Union,
right.
The Lisbon Treaty, the Maastricht Treaty, all of those treaties. But, you know, if you change that, it seems to me that, again, it invites a challenge. Well, I mean, you know, there would be problems. Huge undertaking. But it might not work anyway, because, you know, the German Constitutional Court might say that these treaty amendments violate the German Constitution. And they will rule them out of order. I think what Merkel will do is that she will try to ignore this decision.
And?
She will just go ahead, let the European Central Bank do what it's doing. I don't think she can go down the road of corona bonds or euro bonds or anything like that. But I think that she will try to look the other way, even as the ECB continues its funding of Italy through bond purchases by QE, despite the fact that the German Constitutional Court has said that that is unconstitutional. I think that's what she's going to do. I mean, that seems to me the most likely thing. The problem with doing that is we've now got this decision from the German Constitutional Court, and it is only a question of time before somebody in Germany will start to take legal action, lawsuits, to stop it. So Merkel will then try and slow this down. So, you know, we're not going to see it perhaps stop tomorrow, but we are now clearly heading in a certain direction. I think, as I said, because this is a legal decision, because German legal decisions are often expressed in very technical and obscure language, though this one isn't, by the way. But I think people don't understand the implications of this. I think this thing has big implications, and it's another nail in the coffin, and perhaps the decisive one.
Right. Merkel's running out of road.
Merkel's running
out. To keep the game going.
Merkel's running out of road, and realistically, so is the euro. Because remember, without the Germans pumping in the money or allowing the money to be pumped in, it can't be maintained indefinitely. You see, the thing to understand about QE is that the European Central Bank creates money which goes into Italy. But the money that it is creating is pan-European. The euro is a eurozone currency with Germany at its center. So that is Germany's currency that is being printed, in effect, in order to sustain Italian debt. It's a form of fiscal transfer by the side door. It may not look like that, but the German Constitutional Court has, in effect, said that's what it is. So it's saying it's unlawful. It can't be done.
Deutschmarks under a different name. Deutschmarks branded as euros. But can this be appealed?
No. There's no higher court in Germany than the German Constitutional Court. Of course, somebody will try. Maybe somebody will try to go to the European Court of Justice and try and challenge this decision there. But bear in mind this, the German Constitutional Court has said that the German constitution, which it administers, is not affected by decisions of the European Court of Justice. So you have two enormously powerful courts now in conflict with each other, but it is the German Constitutional Court whose decisions are law in Germany. And Germany is the prop and centre of the whole Eurozone and of the whole Eurozone project and indeed of the EU. So, you know, in the end, he who pays the piper calls the tune. If the Germans press on with this, if this legal decision sticks, and I don't see how it cannot be made to stick, then, as I said, it's very difficult to see a way through.
Wow. Big news that no one's going to be reporting on.
Nobody is reporting. There was a furious article, editorial about it in the Financial Times, saying that this is a bad and unhelpful decision. I mean, what does the Financial Times know? This is a legal decision. How does the Financial Times understand German court judgments better than the German court lawyers? Judges who make those judgments. I thought it was a bizarre editorial, but of course it shows how invested they are in their project.
Exactly. It's bad for those people that are invested in the Euro project.
Yeah.
Very bad for them.
Very, very bad. Very, very bad.
Existentially bad.
Existentially bad. I have to say something, by the way. I had not expected this decision. I'd expected the German judges to come up with a fudge. Good for them that they didn't.
Another nail in the coffin, Alexander. We're getting close.
We're getting close
to the day when this project finally comes to an end.
I agree.
All right. Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, hit that subscribe. Please hit that subscribe and please hit that like. When you hit that like, you do us a huge favor. So smash that like. Also go to SoundCloud to get an audio copy of this video, as well as iTunes, where you can get this video in podcast format. And go to PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Donate to us there. That also helps out this channel a whole lot. And of course, go to our world famous site, theduranshop.com, and pick up some of our world famous merchandise, polos, t-shirts, v-necks. And Alexander, you're ready to talk about those magic mugs. The magic mugs, which I'm sure people at the German courts drank from those magic mugs to come up with such a wise decision that will eventually lead to the end of the European Union.
I think that's entirely right. I'm sure they did. I mean, they no doubt listened to our programs. They must have heard about our magic mugs. I'm sure they've been investing in them. We get lots of people who buy our mugs in Germany. And I'm sure the gentlemen in Karlsruhe, the judges in Karlsruhe, are the people who have invested in these mugs. And that's why they've come up with this wise and sage judgment. And can I just say, everybody should, because they are the best magic mugs, the best mugs in the world. They are beautifully made. They are light and strong. They are capacious so that you can have as much tea or coffee or beer or champagne in them as you could possibly want. They keep it hot or cold as you desire. You can put it in the microwave and take it out and the handle will be cold and the coffee or the tea will be hot. Though you shouldn't do that actually, because it's horrible way, it would a certain way to ruin good coffee or tea. But anyway, but you can do it and it shows you what great mugs they are and how magical they are, because not all mugs are able to do those things. And they are perfect. They don't break or crack or chip or discolor. You can see that I've had this particular mug now for a year and a half and it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. This mug, by the way, is my wife's favorite. It's got the coat of arms of the Russian Federation. I've often said that it was of Moscow, but it is in fact of the Russian Federation. It's the double-headed eagle of Russia, but it's St. George and on his horse slaying the dragon of fake news and untruth, which is what we do in our programs. So, best magic mugs in the world. As Alex rightly said, the best shirts in the world. We make the most amazing polo shirts you can find anywhere. They are prodigious and phenomenal and fantastic. And they're 100% cotton, and they're tremendously comfortable, and they're immensely stylish. And you can wear them in all sorts of places. You can go walking, you know, in the Peak District, as I have done in them, or you can go to an absolutely wonderful après-ski or some other great social occasion in London or New York or Paris, and you can wear them and you will look great and you will feel great. And we also have other kinds of shirts. We have short-sleeved t-shirts like the one I'm wearing now with the double-headed eagle of the Duran on it, and we've also got long-sleeved t-shirts, and we've got v-neck shirts, and they're all of the same quality, 100% cotton, all fantastic, all hard-wearing, all phenomenal. I've had mine for years now, and they're all in perfect condition. And you can also find other great things in our shop, like v-neck, like, well, as well as v-neck shirts and other shirts, you can find hats, hoodies and stickers and amazing ebooks on subjects like Russiagate, Ukrainegate, Epstein, Brexit, and the gyrations in the oil price and the recent oil price war. So come to our shop, buy these great things, support us at the Duran so that we can continue to provide you with the great analysis that we do in our programs, and be the proud owner of these wonderful things. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to thedurantshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.